ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News breakdown.
Well, the federal government has been sitting on the 2023 No Favourites Review by former Public Service Commissioner Lynelle Briggs, dubbed the Jobs for Mates investigation, for no less than 27 months. But today they decided to release it. Now, the report was commissioned by Labor to review the government board appointment process after the previous coalition government was accused of stacking dozens of plum positions with former colleagues and supporters. Now, while it acknowledged the vast majority of appointments weren't political, the scathing report did find that appointments were still too often to reward friends or promote political priorities, rather than choosing the best person for the job. It also noted that government board positions were rarely advertised and many selections were made directly by ministers without any formal process. This is not, of course, the province of one-sided politics. Today, however, Finance Minister Katie Gallagher rejected a number of the report's recommendations, many of them, drawing strong criticism from independent senators who accused the government of ignoring the community's call for more integrity in politics. One of the most prominent critics, of course, has been independent Senator David Pocock, who felt that Labor's attitude changed when it shifted from opposition to government.
It smashes trust in political parties, in government institutions at a time where we desperately need to be rebuilding that. And I thought this Briggs review would be an opportunity where we could start to rebuild trust in appointment processes. You can get up in the Senate and essentially just read what Labor, now Labor Minister, said in opposition as a criticism of exactly what they're doing now.
Well, joining us for Nightlife News Breakdown tonight is Tom Crowley, ABC Federal Political Reporter. Tom, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Great to be here, Philip.
Well, the government's been sitting on this report. It says it's considering the whole matter. In fact, that was the reason that it said it was sitting on it. But it's now largely just ignored the recommendations, hasn't it? Just what did it find and why the reluctance anyway to release it?
Yes, well, I think the government might be regretting commissioning this review in the first place and going quite as hard as they did on the coalition back in opposition. Those words can always come back to bite you. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, of course, made a big show of wanting to do politics differently and in the end has really created a rod for his government's own back on a number of fronts. Freedom of information laws, another one over the last few weeks that's got a bit of a run of the government having said things in the past about it and taking a different view in government. In this case, the Jobs for Mates review and the reluctance to release the government's response to that review, I suspect it is because of how many of the recommendations they are rejecting and just how scathing Lynelle Briggs was in this report. You're right to say that she found that most appointments are not people with political backgrounds, but it's often quite prestigious ones or cushy ones, you might say, where you do find people with a Labor background or people with a Liberal background. And I think it became pretty clear early on that the Labor government, having made a big, big point about this, for example, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, Mark Dreyfus, the former Attorney General, he was so big on the idea that that was being stacked out with Liberals that he tore the whole thing down and set up a whole new one, really specifically to avoid exactly this kind of practice. And that was really part and parcel of the way that the government used to talk about this issue. But as time goes on diplomatic appointments to sort of government and cultural boards, we've seen time and time again, crucially, I think it is when the formal process and any sort of independent panel that is involved makes a recommendation, but the minister comes over the top and then appoints someone who, surprise, surprise, has some connection to a political party. It happens at state and federal level. It's something that, as you say, is a bipartisan hobby.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that we've seen anything much from the government today that suggests that they're going to change that.
Yes, but one of the most egregious ones in the past has been the state consuls general, of course, in places like New York. For example, very cushy things at all, basically pretty much paid public holidays, I would think. Yeah, the report does include some sensible and detailed and actionable recommendations, such as to establish a broader base of candidates beyond the Canberra bubble, uniform standards for assessing candidates, transparent appointment processes, and stricter limitations of tenure. But the government says it will opt for, quote, a new Australian government appointments framework instead. Now, the Minister for Government Services, Katie Gallagher, insists that the government's new framework was informed by, her words, Briggs's report. Good enough. It doesn't, I mean, it doesn't really change the system at all, does it? I mean, there's no sanction.
I mean, that could
there's
mean no, anything, really.
No, exactly. There's no sanction here, is there?
No, and yes, exactly how this framework is informed by the report, I suppose we'll have to wait and see, and the full details of it, you know, we don't have them in front of us. But it's clear that, look, the government's pretty defensive of its right to do this, and I think behind closed doors this is something that people from both major parties, they will say, oh, look, you know, sometimes people from political backgrounds can be well qualified for these jobs, but equally as well, you know, there are reasons why we might want to put people who we trust and whose values are aligned with the elected government of the day to do these sorts of jobs. Of course, the ABC board is one of the things that has been subject in the past to, you know, appointments from one side of politics or the other, and at times there have been controversial board appointments. But governments have argued that it's quite legitimate for them to put people on the ABC board that they think they will, you know, will do a good job running the ABC. And the same for so many different other government boards for key diplomatic positions. I mean, we look at Kevin Rudd over in the United States. The government would argue that having somebody who's aligned with their agenda, understands the Labor view of the world, and is able to put the government's message effectively in Washington to the Trump administration and the Biden administration has been a useful thing, and that having, you know, Kevin Rudd representing Australia's interests when there is a Labor government in Canberra is a useful thing. So in that sense, I think there's some defence of the practice, and that might be part of why this report by an independent public servant, the government takes a look at and says, well, you know, no thanks, we'll do it our way.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair enough. I mean, there are often occasions when very senior ex-politicians might be indeed the best possible appointments to particularly senior diplomatic roles. It's not just that, though. It's all the other little perks and perquisites and others that are on offer. That's the criticism. Green Senator Barbara Pocock offered bruising criticism of Labor's response today. Here she is challenging Finance Minister Katie Gallagher.
One of her recommendations was, quote, for ex-politicians and staffers to be barred from government board appointments for 6 months after leaving government, extending to 18 months for former ministers and their staff. Have you rejected that recommendation?
Well, we don't agree with that recommendation. We don't believe, you know, that people should be excluded if they've got the right skill set and go through a process of appointment to a government board. But there are people who leave work in this parliament who do have the right skills and would be an asset on government boards and committees.
I think what your government is becoming is a government of gestures, a government of codes, as opposed to a government which delivers what the Australian population want, which is an end to jobs for the boys.
Yeah, well, they wonder why politicians have got a bad name. I mean, really, Tom, they bring it on themselves very often, don't they?
Yes, I suppose they do. And I think that it really just comes down to a question of public confidence, right? I mean, you can hear Katie Gallagher there making a point that, as we said before, you know, it might be reasonable in some circumstances. It's not to say that everyone who has a political background should be barred from this sort of thing forever. But that's where I think a recommendation like a cooling off period, similar recommendations, by the way, are often made and have yet to be adopted about, you know, former staffers going into consulting roles in exactly the same areas that they used to work in. And there's plenty of other aspects of the revolving door in Canberra, all of which I think accumulate to give people this cynicism about, you know, the political system and political operatives and you know, opportunities going to some and not others. And so that's where I think that reports like this, you know, at least by asking the question of whether more transparency and independence, I think they're the two key words here that could give the public a little more confidence in these processes.
Indeed. All right, to another long-awaited announcement from the Albanese government today, the Artificial Intelligence Plan. The government began consulting on this in 2023. It's the first national plan to guide the development of artificial intelligence. In September last year, former Industry Minister Ed Husic flagged 10 mandatory guardrails to include requirements for high-risk AI developers to create risk management plans, test systems before and after deployment, establish complaints mechanisms and the like. But the government now seems to have accepted business demands to pause these mandatory guardrails over AI. The Assistant Minister for Science, Technology and the Digital Economy, Andrew Charlton, says they're committed to existing frameworks for now.
Well, the government has already shown a willingness to make changes to our existing frameworks where changes are required to keep Australians safe. We've already legislated on deepfakes. We are going to legislate on nudify apps.
Green Senator David Shoebridge is not a fan. He says the federal government's plan to regulate artificial intelligence falls short on protecting Australians and puts tech companies first.
There hasn't been a single action brought to protect an artist's copyright from the March of AI that the government's aware of. We just had that confirmed yesterday in Senate estimates. When it comes to AI algorithms driving people towards extremism, the government says nothing to see here either.
Yeah, Tom, is it a back down?
Well, look, I think we have to wait and see on this. There is a point there that Andrew Charlton's making that's a reasonable one about seeing this as something that should be updated throughout existing laws rather than necessarily creating some kind of standalone AI law. One of the big risks that the tech sector warns about if you were to do that is that, well, the technology changes so quickly. If you try and write a law today based on what we understand this technology to be, by the time it actually gets through the parliament, it might seem all very dated and quaint, and you might have, you know, unintended consequences if you're not anticipating a way that the technology goes, and then you've restricted something with the law that you didn't mean to, and all of that. So, you know, he points to the example of the nudify apps. There are some other examples really across the economy where the government might want to consider this. And the biggest one of all, I think, is industrial relations law. There was some talk in this AI strategy about the idea to the need to reconsider whether workers' rights need some kind of tweaking, whether the workplace laws that we have need to include some sort of guarantee about how AI will be integrated into the workplace, whether people will be given the opportunity to retrain, what kind of guarantee people might have about AI taking their jobs. Those are really big issues that haven't necessarily been ignored by the government in this AI strategy. They've been deferred. And part of what Charlton is saying there is that that might be something for the appropriate minister, in this case, Amanda Rushworth, the employment minister, to think about in her own portfolio, and similar for other different areas of government. But I think the point that Shoebridge makes is that the harms we're already seeing across so many fronts. I mean, unions are already warning about disruption in the workplace. Shoebridge talks there about artists and copyright. That's something the government's made some early steps on. So many conversations that we're having now about AI and social media algorithms. There's a sense that this thing is moving so fast, getting ahead of us, and we're behind already. I think we can look at the fact that the government's now, you know, 20 years after social media really first exploded, looking at banning it for teenagers, and wonder whether we might find ourselves in a similar position in 20 years' time with AI.
Mm. Government's also moved just pre-Christmas to announce the establishment of an inquiry into sexual violence in Australia's military. The probe was a recommendation of the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide. This is Defence Personnel Minister Matt Keogh speaking at the National Press Club today.
If there's one message that I want perpetrators to take from my address today, it is this. If you engage in sexual violence, you can presume that you no longer have a job in our Defence Force.
They might end up with a lot of cases here, Tom. How broad is this inquiry likely to be?
Well, it will be quite a broad one, at least according to the terms of reference. It'll have significant investigative powers and really cover a whole lot of different systemic areas within the Defence Force. I mean, this Royal Commission was a really significant document, its final report that was released in September of last year, and it's a year now since the government responded and accepted most of those recommendations. But I think that there is a recognition that this is going to take a really significant undertaking to fix. And, you know, we're also hearing news about a class action with more than 1,000 former ADF women alleging systemic sexual abuse, harassment and discrimination across the ADF. 1,000 is an extraordinary number. And so the depths of what might be a cultural problem that the Royal Commission has unearthed here, and the difficult rocks we'll have to turn over to, I suppose, get to the bottom of that, and what can you do with such a large institution and an important institution to shift that culture?
Sure.
It can be a culture sometimes that can be, I guess, can close ranks and can be a little bit inscrutable to the public. So, you know, inquiries like this will have their work cut out for them.
Tom Crowley's with us, ABC Federal Political Reporter. Just finally, Tom, briefly before you go, some late news. More companies have been included on the government's social media ban.
Indeed. Well, we were warned that it would be a fluid list of platforms that were included on this ban. There are 8 or 9 on there at the moment, and they're mostly the big ones. But we're starting to hear stories of all of these platforms that no one has ever heard of, and Lemonade and the other one that, of course, the name escapes me already Yope. Because I had to learn it today.
Yope, it is.
Yope, forgive me for forgetting that
No one's heard of it. That's all right.
But, you know, these have sprung up really in the last week or two. There's this spate of ads and posts on Instagram and TikTok as the kids are saying, oh, well, I'll see you over on Yope. We'll create accounts over there of things that look very much exactly like TikTok in one case. Lemonade, I believe it is owned by ByteDance, which is the same company that makes TikTok.
That's right.
We always expected that there would be these sorts of rival platforms. What the government says is when they see an influx of people that are going on to other platforms, that they have a broader range of platforms they're in conversation with and are warning them that they might become covered by the law as well. And so Annika Wells will warn at the press club tomorrow that these two are on notice.
Yep. The brave new world just over a week away. All right, Tom Crowley, terrific to have you had your time and expertise. Thank you, Tom.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.